Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hi, I'm Jane Garvey.
And I'm Fee Glover.
Off Air with Jane and Fee is going live.
We are taking to the stage at the amazing Crucible Theatre in Sheffield on Friday, the 31st of May.
It'll be a night full of surprises. We'll have a special guest, we'll involve you in the audience, and we'll embarrass ourselves. You really won't want to miss it.
Well, the surprise is we don't yet know what's in it, so it genuinely is a night of surprises.
Well, you've surprised me already. It's not just us. Our live show is part of an exciting new podcast festival called Crosswires, which is taking place in some really amazing venues across Sheffield from the 31st of May to the 2nd of June.
So other podcasters that you'll be able to see include Katie Price, Catherine Ryan, Ramesh Ranganathan and the original Adam Buxton. But there's also a whole host of free fringe events, family shows, surprise acts and after parties that Jane and I haven't yet been invited to.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Head to crosswires.live for tickets and more information.
As talks of a new ceasefire grind on in the Israel-Gaza war, one of our colleagues, the journalist Amal Hellers, is still in Gaza. Her reporting is crucial to us because Israel's banned foreign journalists from entering the Strip. They're only allowed in if they're embedded with the Israeli army, and then Israel gets to check their work before it's published.
We weren't allowed to talk to other people, not to doctors, not to patients.
Locals, like Amal, can speak more freely, but it's very dangerous.
Over 110 journalists have been killed in Gaza since October 7.
Drones were roaming in the sky, watching our movements and following us. They targeted us directly.
As always, Israel denies targeting media workers.
Despite the dangers, Amal's been talking to us for the past few months. We can't talk to her as we normally would in an interview because Amal doesn't have enough internet or electricity. So instead, she's been talking to one of our producers, Olivia Case, via WhatsApp voice notes. So for today's episode, I'll hand over to my colleagues Olivia and Amal.
In late November, walking home from work, I sent my first message to a woman over 2,000 miles away.
Hi, Amal, it's Olivia. Thank you so much for talking to us.
Hi, Olivia. It's nice to meet you, and it's my honor to be with you.
When the war started, we gained a colleague. Amal Hellers joined the paper just a week after Hamas attacked Israel. Things escalated fast, and by the time she and I were talking, Israel was bombing northern Gaza.
Said that the order by the Israeli military that more than 1 million Palestinians must leave the northern Gaza Strip within the next 24 hours.
As the war intensifies, more than 200 hostages remain captive.
Bring them home! Bring them home!
Also in the north, Al-Shifa Hospital had come under fire.
The World Health Organization has described the Al-Shifa Hospital as a death zone.
Israel has promised to provide proof of what they say is Hamas's command center there.
Elsewhere, ceasefire talks were on the cards, but they weren't going well.
Israel will not agree to a cessation of hostilities with Hamas. This is a time for war.
And in the south of the Strip, Amal was at home in Khan Yunis, Gaza's second largest city.
I'm covering the situation in the south, because we cannot go to the north due to the severe situation there.
This is her story. You're listening to Stories of Our Times from The Times and The Sunday Times. I'm Olivia Case. Today, a diary of war, 3 months in Gaza.
At exactly 11 o'clock at night, my children and I were sleeping, and suddenly we woke up to the sound of a very strong explosion and the scattering of glass all over the house. We were screaming and very frightened. I took my children in my arms to escape. Some of the missile fragments were also scattered, and I imagined that if they hit my children, they would inevitably be fatal.
18 people died when that bomb fell on the house next door to Amal. But we'll come back to that. Our first conversation happened on that walk home in late November, months before. And it started in the usual way, as she told me a bit about her life.
I'm Amal Hillis, a Palestinian journalist, a mother of two kids, two most beautiful children, Maryam, 7 years old, and Waj, 4 years old. I was born and live in Gaza Strip. About 2 years ago, the Gaza Strip began to prosper as the number of the restaurant and resort in the Gaza Strip increased. And there were several investments that contributed to improving the economy. The streets of Gaza were beautiful and full of life. You couldn't differentiate between Christians and Muslims. They were all brothers and lovers. There was a beautiful social life. I have friends. We were a group of friends who shared all activities together.
Amal tells me about her best friend, Palsam. They're both 29 and they met in middle school. Amal says they were good students, but a bit naughty. They stayed close throughout college and university. Amal studied English and Palsam read architecture.
Constant contact with each other. When we graduated from university, I got married and started a family. In the same year, she got married also and started the most beautiful family. She had two children. The first child, Saeed, who is also Maryam's age, 7 years old. And the other Ward, who is 6 years old. We used to meet sometimes. We would share our food together, walk in the markets, the streets, laughing.
She says their favourite restaurant was this place called Mazaj, and they'd buy ice cream and wander through the local market together. They haven't seen each other since the war started.
We were not just a friend, we were sisters.
In this first conversation, we also had a chat about what her life is like now, a month and a half into the war.
Fortunately, I was not displaced from my house, but a large number of people displaced to our house.
Khan Yunis is a city of around 400,000, but by this point it was housing more than a million more.
Our house consists of two floors. On the first floor, my husband's family, and there are more than 70 people. In the second floor, about 15 people from my family are also displaced in my house because their homes are very close to the bombing. Others had their homes destroyed. Imagine this number of people in apartment. We provide them hardly with food. We can hardly provide water. The water is not drinkable, so it causes many diseases. We cannot provide all of them with mattresses, so some of them are sleeping in the blankets or in the carpet.
Where's the water coming from? And what about the food? What kind of food are you all eating at the moment?
We stand in long line for no less than 3 hours to get 10 liters of water. As for food, at the beginning of the war, we relied on canned food, but it no longer exists as the stores have become empty of food and even salt is not available.
4 days pass before Amal and I talk again. And in that time, there's a major development.
Turning now to the Middle East, where Israel and Hamas have agreed to a temporary ceasefire.
The beginning of the pause will be 7 a.m. Friday, the 24th of November. And it will last.
It's 11 hours old, but it is holding. And as a result, convoys of aid trucks have already headed into Gaza. So those are the key.
That the 13 Israeli hostages released today on day one of this four-day deal are in good condition.
Of course, in exchange, Hamas getting 39 prisoners each of these days. They have been released from Israeli jails and sent to the West Bank.
So it's Monday now. It's the penultimate day of the first ceasefire. There might be a second. We've seen a number of hostages exchanged and a bit more aid has been allowed into Gaza. How are things there?
Since the beginning of the ceasefire, thousands of displaced people set off to their homes. Many were returning with their belongings loaded on the donkey. The situation is somewhat calm. There is movement of people in the streets. Most of the shops are open. Many displaced people are buying winter clothes because the weather is getting colder. There are some canned food and vegetables available in the markets. People are more able to charge their phones and batteries in schools or in hospitals, but still, we have no electricity in our homes. As the bombs feel silent, the Israeli army warned the Palestinians in Gaza that the war is not over yet.
We hope to get our hostages is out. We hope to get this first tranche out. And then we're committed to getting everyone out. But we'll continue with our war aims, namely to eradicate Hamas.
And what are you hoping for from the next few days?
I hope that there will be a permanent ceasefire to stop the war. I hope to get water easily. I wish we could go to our favorite places, to the restaurants we love, with my children, but unfortunately, these restaurants no longer exist due to the Israeli bombing. I hope we go back to riding cars instead of carts, donkey carts. I wish we could go out without fear. I miss going to the beauty salon. I miss family gatherings. I miss talking and staying up late.
This is a bit of a difficult question. I hope you don't mind me asking. I was wondering, has the war changed your children?
Yes, it's a very deep question. And frankly, the war changed my children a lot. They are become familiar with the new terms such as ceasefire, truce, displacement, missiles, shelter, evacuation, tanks, no electricity, no water, no gas, no power. They now know that there is a truce, and I hear their wishes for the truce to be extended. I didn't dream that my children would experience all this pain. They always ask me about their return to schools. My children are sleeping very little because they are used to staying up late due to the constant sounds of bombing. They always ask me, Mom, is there enough water? Is there bread? I always dream of a better future for my children, but the war destroyed everything.
Will you stay in Gaza, do you think, after the war?
I will remain in Gaza. My family and my loved ones are here. How can I leave them?
May I ask, are there any situations that lift you up, that bring you any sort of joy in the midst of all of this?
I become an aunt again. A beautiful baby girl actually came to us and added a new member to our family. She was born during the war, on the fifth day of the war in Gaza. On the day
the baby's mum is Amal's sister-in-law, so this is her brother's wife. Amal says that because of the stress of the war, she went into labour a month early on a night when there was heavy bombing. The family decided to risk it and tried to get to a hospital, which they did manage, but there weren't enough doctors there to help everyone.
When she was born, the hospital situation was very disastrous. There were miscarriages, and the situation is very difficult. Imagine a little girl opening her eyes to life in war. How we wished that this child would not go through all of this.
So she was born a month prematurely. She's now about a month old. What's her name?
Because she was born during the war, we called her Salam, which means peace.
Coming up, Amal and her family are forced from their home. But will they be any safer in their new location?
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal, to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
We're in late November, and Amal's much-wished-for ceasefire gets extended by 2 days. But in early December, further talks fall apart, and the fighting begins afresh.
We begin this morning with breaking news out of the Middle East.
Israeli forces hitting targets overnight in southern Gaza.
Increasingly, it's moving towards where she is in Khan Yunis, in that packed home with the 85 other people.
Khan Yunis is a bottleneck of despair.
Now packed with hundreds of thousands of Gazans who fled the north since the start of the war last month.
The US is voicing more and more concern publicly about Israel's military operations in southern Gaza.
Israeli officials insisting they're using leaflets, warning residents to leave areas before they're hit, and confirming negotiations with Hamas.
Hello, I'm just checking in to see how you're doing. The ceasefire ended 4 days ago, and it looks like the bombing is spreading right to southern Gaza, and potentially Israeli troops are on the ground where you are as well. Just checking in to see if you're all right and kind of what's going on where you are.
Since the end of the humanitarian truce, the bombing has continued. Leaflets have been dropped on areas in Khan Yunis. We feel very afraid. My children are afraid. Things are getting difficult. I prepared my bags and some important items. We will evacuate from Khan Yunis to Rafah. What a difficult feeling it is to leave your home and your memories and not know whether there is a return or not.
Oh, Amal, so you're evacuating your home. It's the 4th of December. You've sent me a picture of some of those leaflets that were dropped on your house. In Arabic, it basically says, urgent warning, you must evacuate immediately. The city of Khan Yunis is a dangerous combat zone. And then some other words. You've also sent me a photograph of the 8 small bags that you're taking with you. What on earth are you taking? How on earth do you fit your entire life into 8 bags?
I took with me my certificates, my children's birth certificates, and some photos of me and my family. I took with me some healthy foods, some jackets for my children because the weather is getting colder. I took also mattresses and blankets.
You've got two young children, so you've got Maryam, who's 7, and Waj, who's 4. How are you explaining all of this to them?
Frankly, I was realistic with them so that they would be aware of what is happening. I told them that we were going to Rafah, to a safe area, because the bombing and explosions are continuing. They told me, yes, we want to go to anywhere without hearing the sound of this bombing. Maryam was whispering to me, Mama, do they want to bomb our home?
Amal said Maryam was whispering because she didn't want her little brother to hear her and then get upset and cry. Amal let them pack their own bags at first. Waj tried to take everything he owned. Maryam chose just her most treasured toys and clothes.
We said goodbye to our home. I took a picture of it before I left. My tears didn't stop till now for a moment. And the tears of my children, I will never forget for the rest of my life. There are questions that I couldn't find an answer to it. Mama, will our house be bombed? And another question, which is the most hardest question. When will we return to our house?
Where are you going and how are you going to get there? Because I know you said there was no petrol and everyone was using donkey carts instead of cars.
We finally found a car that would take us to Rafah. We arrived a little while ago here. The road was full of donkey carts and people displaced to Rafah.
So just to give you a sense of place, Amal and her family have gone a 20-minute drive southwest. So they were in Khan Yunis, which is bang in the middle of the south of the Gaza Strip. And now they're in Rafah, which is that city that's right near the border with Egypt. She's travelling with some of those 85 people who were living in her home. So there's her kids, her husband, her mother-in-law, as well as some of her husband's side of the family, two of his sisters and their families.
The place is very small and the basic necessities don't exist. The situation is really harmful. We are evacuated. We are displaced. We are homeless.
They were lucky to find a home in the end, but they're sharing with 17 others. Most people are staying in tents. For the rest of that Monday, my messages sit undelivered on WhatsApp with one little grey tick. But then the next morning, they get through. And Amal replies.
Good morning, Olivia. Sorry for not calling you yesterday. We have an internet and a mobile blackout. We feel so afraid. We feel that we are isolated. We are scared. And our feelings cannot be expressed by words.
They left just in time.
Scenes verging on the apocalyptic, men wading through the aftermath of an Israeli airstrike about 9 kilometers north of Khan Yunis, looking for the injured, more often than not, finding the dead. And the fight is now also on the ground, Israeli tanks heading for the city.
At this point, Amal and her husband decide to live separately. That might seem like an odd decision, but he's a journalist too, and they are both so committed to telling people about what's happening in Gaza, and this decision is all about that. So he goes to live in a tent near a big hospital in Rafah with other reporters. There's a bit more electricity and internet there, and he can get places more easily, so it's better for him for work. But it does mean that it's much harder for him to see his family and to help if something happens. A couple of weeks pass, taking us to mid-December. Amal writes a piece for The Times about reports that Gazans are hunting and eating stray cats and dogs to survive. Footage emerges of men and women chasing after one of the few aid trucks. On the 19th of December, I see Amal online and WhatsApp her to find out how they are.
Hi, Olivia. Yes, it has been 2 weeks since I was evacuated from my house in Khan Yunis. We are alive, but we are not well. I hope that negotiations will end in a permanent ceasefire so that we can return to our normal life and our homes.
Do you know what's happened to your home?
The last time I heard the news about my house, 13 days ago, it had some partial damage, according to the testimony of some neighbors. But I don't know now what its condition is.
And how are your kids? How are Maryam and Waj?
My children, since our escape to Rafah, has been sick with the diseases such as the flu and the other diseases as a result of pollution and the crowding here in this small place.
Amal's 7-year-old daughter is the sicker of the two. The pollution's giving her breathing problems. There's lots of smoke in Rafah because people are lighting fires to cook food and keep warm. We stay in touch over Christmas as Rafah becomes even more squeezed. The UN estimates half of Gaza is now living there. And increasingly, the bombing follows Amal south.
In the southern city of Rafah, an Israeli airstrike destroyed a house and damaged several others in a refugee camp.
Even in Rafah today, this was the aftermath of what residents said was an Israeli airstrike.
As Christmas ends, a new year comes and goes, Maryam becomes increasingly unwell.
Hi, Olivia. Hope you are doing well. Yes, it's the 3rd of January. We came to Rafah, considering that it is a safe place. 4 days, the bombing has been continuing in Rafah. Last night was a difficult night. My child, Maryam, was very sick and needed us to take her to the hospital. But unfortunately, we couldn't go there due to the intensification of the bombing. Going out was a risk.
What was wrong with her and how is she now?
She has been suffering from breathing problems, but last night she became severe and her temperature rose to the point that I was crying and couldn't do anything for her. Fortunately, there was someone who had a vaporizer that improved her somewhat.
Amal had managed to borrow someone's vaporizer, or an inhaler as we might know it.
She's fine now, but she needs rest and clean air.
Amal, earlier on, you told us about one of your best friends, Palsam, the architect, who had two kids. You were at school together. You said you were both naughty and clever. Have you heard from her? Where is she now?
I had seen a news on the internet that a house had been bombed in Deir al-Balah, in the al-Balad region. I texted her directly as if I felt like something bad happened. I sent her many messages on Messenger, on WhatsApp, but I had no response. In the end, I called her sister and I was shocked at that news. Palsam and her children were gone. I lost my friend, my lifelong friend, and her two kids, Ward and Saeed, as a result of the Israeli bombing of their house. Therefore, I feel afraid all the time, afraid that I will lose another of my loved ones and friends. Balsam was 30 years old and had many dreams. She loved live. We agreed to meet on the 8th of October, but the war came and I was not able to meet her. I was not even able to bid her a farewell and see her for the last time. Her remains were placed in a white bag with the words, "These are the remains of Balsam Dahala."
Has her death changed your mind on whether you'll leave Gaza? Because nearly 2 months ago, you said you'd stay, but an awful lot has changed since then.
Before the war,
We had everything, the finest food, the best clothes. We owned the houses with the beautiful views. We had everything. Everything was taken away from us. So if I have the chance to go out Gaza, I will do it.
What needs to happen for you to get out? Because I know that a handful of people were allowed out in November.
Escape from Gaza for a chosen few. Around 80 injured people and a few hundred foreign passport holders got through the Rafah crossing today.
But others have shown up and been turned away, and now it seems like the border's closed again.
Thanks for our friend at Times and the Sunday Times for helping me, because they have been trying for some times to have me, to have my name on the list. But we are waiting for that. I hugely appreciate their efforts.
So this list, am I right in saying that this is the British government's list? And, you know, how would it work? Is that then given to the Israelis or the Egyptians?
The arrangement will be Israeli and Egyptian. And if we leave Gaza, I hope we will reach Britain. But first, we need to go to Cairo to obtain Palestinian passports. Then we need a visa to Britain.
A week later, on the 10th of January, Amal's need to escape Gaza becomes even more pressing.
At exactly 11 o'clock at night, my children and I were sleeping, and suddenly we woke up to the sound of a very strong explosion and the scattering of stones and glass all over the house. We thought the building had been bombed. We were screaming and very frightened. I took my children in my arms to escape with them outside the building. And the ambulances were here, approximately 18 martyrs from different families, most of them children and women. Some of the missile fragments were also scattered, a piece of a rocket. And I imagine that if they hit any of my children, they would inevitably be fatal. They told me that
the bomb hit the house next door, killing 18 people. Amal sends over a video of one of its fragments. It's a scuffed-up silver shard, about 6 inches wide and half my height. She says that all of this is happening not just in a busy civilian area of Rafah, so there's a market there during the daytime, but also in a neighbourhood called Tal al-Sultan. And this is a place that Israel designated as a safe zone. Gazans were explicitly told to come here. Unsurprisingly, Amal and her family struggle to get back to sleep that night.
We stayed awake until the morning, afraid to close our eyes. It's a truly scary night. I hope this nightmare will end. I hope I can protect my children. I don't know how many times we will escape certain death.
Israel says it's targeting Hamas and doing everything it can to minimize civilian casualties.
Amal, I was wondering, would it be fair of us to ask your children what they want? I don't know if maybe you could ask them and we could record it and you could translate for us if you feel that's appropriate.
مريومة إيش حابة تعمل بس تخلص الحرب؟
أروح المول وأشتري حاجات بديها شوكولاتة وشيبسي وأشوف صحباتي وأشوف الناس سماح وأتمشى في الشارع وأروح مع بابا وماما عفروليا عكيدزلاند.
She told me that she wants to go to her favorite places, Floria restaurant, Kids Land. She wants to get back to her school, to see her teacher, to see her friends. And she wants to go to the supermarket and buy the chocolate she loved that she used to buy.
Since we last spoke, Amal and her children have moved again. Their neighbours were evacuating because they'd heard rumours that nearby houses were going to be bombed a second time. So Amal decided to move too. She wanted to be in the west or the centre of Rafah, in one of those Israeli-designated safe zones, But there wasn't any space, so she's found a place in the east for now. She's not in a safe zone. She's still with her sister and her kids, and her husband is still in that journalist's tent at the hospital. The other members of her family that she travelled down to Rafah with are scattered around the city. It was also her 30th birthday when we spoke, but she'd actually forgotten until Facebook reminded her. I asked if she had a birthday wish.
Don't stop talking about Palestine. Don't stop talking about what is happening to us in Gaza. This is my only wish.
As things stand, this war has killed about 1% of Gaza's population. About 1 in every 40 people in the country is wounded. Half of its buildings are damaged or destroyed. There are no fully functioning hospitals. Israel says it's only targeting Hamas fighters and terrorist infrastructure. Amal and I are still in touch. She's still waiting to get on that evacuation list. You've been listening to Stories of Our Times, a podcast brought to you thanks to the subscribers of The Times and The Sunday Times, with me, Olivia Case, and my colleague, Amal Helez, a journalist with The Times and The Sunday Times. Amal continues to write about what's going on in Gaza, and you can read all of it at thetimes.co.uk or in print, and we'll keep you posted on how she and her family are doing. Today's producer was also me. The executive producer is Kate Ford, and sound design was by Mao Loseto. If you have something that you think we should be talking about, please do email us. We love getting them, and I promise we read them. It's storiesofourtimes@thetimes.co.uk. Goodbye.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.